Thank you, Mark. I have just sort of a brief update today about where we're at in multi-breed evaluation in terms of the research prototypes and growth. But I'm going to take a little bit of time just to regress some so that we can get everybody up to speed. Some of you have not maybe been aware about the multi-breed evaluation prototype and some of the things that we have done. So I'm going to go back and present a few slides just to bring you up to date. Maybe. This one. Cornell University and with Simmental have been conducting a multi-breed evaluation with their data set, the Simmental data set, since 1997. The University of Georgia has been working with Brangus, Gelby, and Limousine in producing a multi-breed evaluation with their data sets since around 2000. And I think, you know, as we go about thinking about a multi-breed evaluation, we need to think about why we're doing it. I mean, what's the reasons why these breeds went to a multi-breed evaluation? And the first thing, if you think about the individual breed associations, and we talked a little bit about this in the last talk, this was molecular data, but now we're talking about phenotypic data. It's really capturing more information to be able to go into the genetic evaluation. And what was happening, I think, at the time is that in our typical evaluations, they were purebred evaluations, only using purebred data. And these databases, Simmental, Gelby's, Limousine's, Brangus, they had a lot of other information in there, i.e. information from crossbred animals that wasn't getting into the evaluation. So this was an opportunity to maybe capture more data by going to a multi-breed evaluation that would allow us to compute EPDs using all the information in a data set, both purebred data and crossbred data. And so the first thing, the reason why you went to a multi-breed evaluation in these breeds was to increase the accuracy of prediction on our purebred bulls. And that's really the first reason why it was incorporated into the evaluation system. The second thing is that it allows us to compute EPDs on virtually any animal in the database, whether it's a purebred or a crossbred. And this might allow additional revenue streams for these breeds, because they can now maybe incorporate composite animals or other breed types, breed crosses, into their evaluation system. If we think about now what's going on in terms of pulling evaluations across or pulling the data sets across breeds so that we can run one large multi-breed evaluation, providing genetic values of that kind of a system, let's say, for example, we could get the industry to all come together and pull the data set into one big database, we could compute genetic values that would be on the same scale, same currency. We could then put those into a decision support tool that's been developed by Colorado State University, the process of being developed, and be able to compute sort of dollar value EPDs on a herd, each individual herd system, so that a breeder who's in a two-breed rotational cross-breed system or putting composites together could now choose bulls of whatever breeds that they're trying to use and put them on the same basis. And everything would be a lot easier, it would be a lot more simple, and it would be a lot more explainable, and then education-wise, obviously, it would be simpler. Now, the NBE model is your typical model, and what's in white here, this is the only model I have, so I'm not going to be too tough from now on. But the purebred model that we used to use, you know, basically had our standard effects, and we had a direct. It's kind of hard when you can't see. Okay, we have a direct genetic effect and a maternal genetic effect, and those are what your EPDs come out for. They come out of these effects for weaning weight, direct, and maternal. And what we've added basically to our maternal breed effect or breed effect model or hindbeat model is we've added heterosis effects to account for the heterosis in the animals being produced. Maternal heterosis because we might have a crossbred female. We have breed effects for the animal and then a maternal breed effect for the dam. So we have additional effects in our model that we're going to have to account for. And obviously our EPD that were coming out of the old model was just our normal breed value type EPD, and now we're putting breed effects into these EPDs now. So now we have both an in sort of within breed genetic effect and a crossbreed effect is all conglomerated into one MBE. Now I want to talk a little bit about the features of the MBE because it's very important that we're sort of on the same page. And this has been presented in a lot of different forms, so I'll try to boil it down to just a couple of different items. And the first thing is there's been a lot of research. Clay Center's done a lot of stuff trying to understand what it would take to estimate the effects that you have, all the different breed effects and heterosis effects you might have in one of these MBE data sets. Just to give you an example, in the Galvey data set alone, one breed, there's 67 different breed types represented. So there's no way you're going to be able to estimate all 67 different breed effects from the data itself, let alone estimate heterosis effects, because the data structure is not going to allow you to do that. So in order to help us estimate these different breed effects, what we've done is we've used literature, and there's been just streams of research that's come out on the comparison of breeds, estimating heterosis. And these literature values are conglomerated into a table, and basically we're using that to help us estimate the breed effects in this model for these data sets. So we're not just using the data that's in the data set itself, we're also using literature values to help us do that. One of the things that's important, I guess, in terms of the breed effects that you get out of a multi-breed evaluation is we've termed those effects not breed effects, but breeder founder effects. And the reason why it was done was because the animals that form these breeds, for example, if you're an upgrading system and you start out with British-based cows, are those cows representative of the breed that you're, that whatever breed you're talking about? Are they representative of the Angus breed at that particular time? And they probably are not. So they're not representative of the breeds. They just happen to be that breed that's in that data set. So they've been called breeder founder effects. And we can account for genetic trend in our evaluations. We do it in two ways. One is we have selection within our data set. And because we've got pedigree information, we're able to account for genetic flow or gene flow through time through this pedigree. We know which sires and which dams were mated together. We know their EPDs. We have an idea what's going to happen in the offspring. So we can generally, we can change and trace genetic trend through time in the animals and in the data set. And that's important because we see the breeds that you start with in the beginning, those breeder founders, they change. They don't stay the same over time. They change because of selection that's going on in the data set by the breeders. Another thing is that we know we have genetic trend outside this population. As animals come in, Angus, Galvey, limousine animals come in over time, they may trend outside our population. So we try to account for that trend by fitting these breeder founder effects in some kind of time increment so that we can account for that kind of genetic trend. I feel like our MBE, the EPDs that come out of this, do a good job of giving us additive differences between the animals in our data set. I think that it does a good job. But one of the things that's important and really think about is that the EPDs that have come out of that, in other words, if they're composed of some breed effects, if you start taking the averages of those EPDs from the Galvey analysis or the Simmental analysis, they may not reflect the breed average EPDs that are really out there in the population. And this is because, first of all, the founder animals were not representative animals. And the genetic trend in our data set may not be representative of the true trend on the outside of that population. In order to maybe get at these EPDs that are really reflecting true breed differences, we would have to have a huge pool data set of all breeds. Then I think maybe we'll be able to get close to that. So I guess what I'm saying is, as you look at these EPDs, you have to be a little careful. They take the difference between two animals and do a good job of that, but if you start putting them in averages and start to say something about different breeds in that data set, you may be wrong. So let's get back a little bit to the prototype and sort of where we're at on this. In 2004, several breed associations wanted the MBCEC to investigate the feasibility of an MBE for growth that combines several breeds together. At the time, I think there were questions about, did the hardware we have support this? Did the software we have support this? What would it take from a logistics standpoint to pull a lot of breeds together in order to see if we could get this done? And so the MBCEC decided to take a two-pronged approach in that Cornell would provide the information management program. The data would come into Cornell. They would work with it, take the pedigrees, identify animals across the populations, and then that data set would come to the University of Georgia, and we would conduct a multi-breed evaluation to compute the EPDs and the accuracies. And 17 breeds agreed to participate in that research project when it was put together back in 2004. So in 2004, Cornell began to combine the data for the breed association. They sort of did it one at a time. The idea was to, every time they combined the breed, they would do a run just to see if things were going on, send it back to the breed associations, get input, and get a new data set and keep going just to try to understand their data management system and how to put it together. And they did that for a long period of time. Results were sent back. Sometimes they weren't. It was, I think, a pretty huge task. Last year in April, we received our first data set from Cornell and had 11 breeds. And we've kind of run that almost one every other month. Our last one was in March. And we had all 17 breeds and 17 million records now in that evaluation. One of our concerns at the beginning was, I think it was a concern among some groups, would we be able to run this evaluation with this large data set, 17 million records, not a lot of records really. We run with different breeds, different industries, 100 million records. So data sets, computers are cheap. Personnel is expensive. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about, and I want to spend a little bit of time with, is sort of our experience with the results of the multi-group evaluations. Let me set up the next couple of slides to understand what's going on. Part of our research was to understand what was going to come out of the multi-group and if it was feasible. And so one of the things that we look at when we do an evaluation, that we go back and look at certain things to make sure that the results make sense to us. And one of the things that we do is we look at the EPDs generated out of this 17 breed multi-breed evaluation, and then we get those EPDs and we then go back to the individual breed association, each one of them, and we look at the EPDs that are generated out of their own within association run, and we correlate those EPDs and we expect them to be fairly high. We also look for genetic trends. So what we have here is I'm going to present Lindazine and I'm going to present another breed, and what you're seeing here, these are the rank correlations. These would be the correlation between the EPDs that would be generated out of the, this would be for, this is for Limousine, and this would be the correlations that you would get out of the Limousine EPD generated from the 17 breed multi-breed evaluation and their own within association run without any other data in it. Then over here, on the other side, we have genetic trend. And what this is how many pounds per year a genetic trend that they make, whether for Limousine out of the 17-breed, multi-breed evaluation, and out of their own within association run. And we expect these genetic trends to be fairly similar. I mean, we have outside data coming in for Limousine from these other breeds, but the majority of the Limousine data is from the Limousine analysis, the Limousine data set. So we expect the correlations to be fairly high. And if you look at this, the correlations are pretty good, a little lower for milk, and we're seeing that for a lot of the breeds because we do get a lot more information on these crossbred females. That's where a lot of information comes in. But the correlations are pretty good across all the EPDs out of the two different systems. Also, if you look at the genetic trends, they're fairly comparable. And so we feel fairly good. Limousine just makes sense to us, and a lot of the other breeds look this way. But we've had a few breeds, Yelby's one of them, and there's some other ones that we've had some problems with. And so what we're seeing here is that the genetic trends, for example, for birth weight, still high, but for weaning weight, is below 0.9. Most of the other ones are 0.95. Milk, 0.6. Yearling weight, 0.8. So we're not as good for Yelby. And if you look at the genetic trends, you can see, look at milk here, course, milk is always the problem for everybody. Nobody wants their milk to go down. But for the MBE, they got actually a negative genetic trend. So when we see this, you know, we're trying to figure out why this is happening. This isn't something we expect. We expect these correlations and these trends that the LV would look like limousine. This isn't the only breed that's happening to. There's a few other breeds that's happening to. So, we've taken lots of steps in the MBCDC to try to figure this out. We've done so many different gyrations trying to come to some conclusion as to why this is happening. And, you know, one of the things that's happening in the database with Cornell is that they use their contemporary grouping system that's using the Centaur analysis. And it is different than some of the other breeds. And so we take their contemporary grouping strategy, and that's what we utilize in the multi-breed evaluation. So we said, well, maybe it's contemporary grouping. So we took the contemporary group from Cornell. We applied it only to the LV data from our own evaluation. And it didn't make any difference. The correlations were still 0.99. They were very high in the evaluation. So contemporary groups were not the problem. We also worried a little bit about pedigree structure. Were we identifying animals correctly? What was going on here? And it didn't seem to be the case. When we analyzed, we used Cornell's, the pedigree structure right out of the evaluation from Cornell, ran it right in with the Gelby data. It didn't make any difference. We also thought maybe it was some other breed. We thought maybe there was a lot of Gelby data and maybe the Simmental data set, and so we just ran Simmental and Gelby together through our own multi-breed, our own contemporary, everything that we did right from scratch, and we found no differences. So it's not that. The last thing we've done is we decided to go breed by breed. So what we did is we took the Gelby information we got from the prototype, the MBE 17 breed data set for Gelby. And we took that data out and eliminated all the other breeds. And we took the data we get directly from Gelby and we ran both of them through our system. And we did find a difference. So it appears right now, we think, that there's some discrepancy in the data that we're receiving from Cornell and what we're getting from the associations. Where that is, we'll figure it out. We're not sure yet. But the data doesn't seem to be the same. So we're getting closer, I think, to getting this done, but there are still some hurdles left to get over. Last slide, you know, to me it's still a research project. There's been a lot of discussion of what this really is. To me it's research. We're going to keep doing this until we figure out, you know, that all the discrepancies are resolved. We understand what's going on in the data set. We know we can pull it all together. We can handle a data set of this size. And then we can repeat it. If you've done evaluations or been involved in evaluations in any way, the first one is the easy one. Everybody's happy. The second one is the hardest one. If it doesn't repeat, you got problems. You got to be able to get data in from all these different sources into one place. You got to be able to process it. And you've got to be able to get the evaluation. And it's got to be, you know, highly correlated to the last evaluation. You've got to be able to do that time after time after time. They want to make sure that that system can work. So our next MBE growth research prototype will be conducted in July or August. It'll take us a little while to get to it. We can't get to it until probably August because of other commitments. We are working on the Gelby question. We hope to have that resolved for the next one, so I think it will improve. I think we'll get better. We talked about growth, and I just going to leave you with this. At the same time we're doing these other things with growth, we're working on other types of systems. We're working on random regression for growth. Basically, this is a system that will allow you to put records in at any age. There won't be an age restriction. And we've run a prototype on that and been testing it, and it's working fairly well. We're also working on the MBE Japanese evaluation, both in Georgia and Colorado State have been working on that. And we're working on the MBE carcass evaluation. What we learned from the growth is going to make the other ones go easier in terms of handling the data. So once the hardest one, I think, was tackled first from a data issue standpoint. Because this is the most information, and we're going to get over that hurdle. Once we're over that hurdle, then I think it's just a matter of working with the models for the rest of the traits. So with that, I'll stop. And if there's any questions, I'll take you guys.
Can you comment on connectedness being deficit?
Some data sets are very well connected. There's a lot of, the biggest animals connected to data sets, as you might well think, are Angus animals. There are quite a few Angus bulls that are used across a lot of these data sets and across a lot of the contemporary groups. So the connectedness tends to come in through our Angus population, with Angus animals that are in these other breed populations, but some breeds are more connected than others. Some breeds are not as well connected, especially breeds that don't really have a lot of crossbred animals in them. They're not going to be near as connected as those that do. We haven't checked the connectedness as per se, like we used to do for some of our purebred analysis. We're hoping that some of these breed effects are going to help us to really put them all on the same scale and do a pretty good job there. But I think that's something that we're going to need to look into.
How much different are the heritability estimates and the correlation estimates between the multi breed and the gelding, if there were a male
mixture? They're not very much different. As a matter of fact, I think we know that's not the reason. It might spread them or put them closer together, but it's not what's really causing the rearrangement. But the correlate, but the heritability is not that different.
The line really becomes very kind of like correlation.
It is, but all of them are kind of low, and there may be some things in heritability, some parameters, but I still think it's more data driven than it is the models. It's kind of hard to fix the models until you can get the data right, and then we can address some of the issues. Like, for example, we really only use one set of parameters across the breeds. We're not using different parameters on different breeds, which we should. That's the next step that we need to address as we go through the multi-breeding and update those models.
Why have either a crossbreed CPD adjustment factors or a multi-breed evaluations for carcass traits been slow in coming?
Well, part of it is some of the data sets. If you look at the literature, I mean, one of the things in the literature, I don't speak for myself, there's two reasons. Number one is, in terms of a multi-breed carcass evaluation, there's a lot less information in the literature to evaluate carcass traits than you do for growth traits. Growth traits are the easiest in terms of literature. When you look at carcass, some breeds are not very well represented. So that's one thing. So putting that table together is difficult. Another issue for me has been how to handle ultrasound in a multi-breed evaluation system. If you've got carcass traits, all the literature is on a carcass basis. If you've got ultrasound information, what do you do with that? How do you use that? And I've sort of wrestled with that, how to help incorporate ultrasound information. So I nest it within a breed type. You try to put a table together across breeds for ultrasound information, and there is no table out there. There's no information on how to look at yearly bulls, for example, difference between yearly bulls and carcass traits. A little bit of information you want, but not that much. Most of it's in Europe, and I don't think it's going to fit our system. So that's been part of the things that we're going through, is what's the most correct model.
I could address that a little bit. I can contact that there is a multi-breed carcass system that does ultrasound. We've had this weight trait evaluation system that existed before we started this multi-breed prototype. So when we look at what has been the delay in getting this information all into one system, it's really been the necessity to look across three data sets and get them on some kind of a standard format, identifying all the breeds out there. They had a common problem, and many of them had to register an animal that they needed. And in doing that, in their own way, they had to identify that animal from a different register. So there's many breeds that are out there that did that, and there's many strategies developed. We have to then go back and cross that up with that animal. When we get all of that done for the weight traits and the pedigree, then the other traits are just traits.
Right.
Now, we have been almost 2 years trying to make an historical data set for these breed associations one consistent data set for an animal that only identified once. But they still got animals.
Well, some breeds don't even. This is a formidable task. Some of the breeds don't even have, you know, when a bull comes in of a different breed, they may incorporate it and get a brand new number. And sort of all historical knowledge of that bull is erased. So you don't know, even if it's an Indian bull, but you have no idea what the registration number is. Trying to get that information has not been easy for some breeds. Some breeds have done a good job and have just tacked on like an Angus registration number or Hereford or whatever breed it is, in right into that animal's registration system in their own system, and it's been very easy or easier to connect those. So it's not been an easy situation. And to be honest with you, the historical knowledge of some of the breed associations hasn't been very good. Some of them don't know their data sets. You probably know better than they do, and I think John will probably concur with some of the breeds. Some of them didn't know it, some of them do have some knowledge.
So think about the data set, the duration of it, the number of your own breed, the number of personnel changes you've had. The decisions were made of the one set of personnel. Now we ask the question to do set, and they have a lot of business to do. Rather than the breed, they've all really tried to get us as much information about their data sets. The greatest contribution we're going to make is we're going to be turning this genetic evaluation system over to the industry is the cleaning up the historic data and having a file that allows anybody who gets into this an opportunity to understand the nuances of every data set, documenting that animal by animal.
Thank you. I assume there were probably some of the American breeds in there. Were their rank correlations similar? Check their data.
Some were, some weren't. I'm not sure it's specific to any bond breeds or rivers would have any more or less, any more or less possible than the other breed.
Was there anything, you know, you talked about having the fact that heterosis in it, but the difference between fall cars and
yes. There are differences, big differences, like erosis and seeing those toxic.